You're listening to the Racing TV podcast on the wire.
Juki, is this episode 12 or episode 13? I'm not really sure. It's been so fast.
Yeah. Time flies. My hunch is I'd be about threes on episode 12.
Tell everyone why we're a little bit excited this week. New equipment,
and it opens up all new avenues. Basically,
we can look at each other.
Yeah. It's like that scene in James Bond where he goes, I'm a professor of forensic medicine. Mm. I could shoot you from Stuttgart to make it look like suicide. I could be in the parade ring, you could be in the weigh room, and we can still just do our thing.
Much potential.
I don't even know, can we live up to the potential we have here?
First things first, how's your week been so far? On the punting front, on the life front, what's going on?
Well, the punting went really well last weekend. I was just tipping away, losing a few bob. And I like the look of the Elliott second string in the mare's bumper, the last race of the day. And I had a little tickle each way on around 49-1 on the exchanges.
I never heard about this.
Yeah, I know. I'm amazed because I've told everyone that. And that's been a very lucky race for me, actually, because I backed relegated a price a couple of years ago. So mare's bumpers are kind of like, I don't really like mare's races and I rarely bet bumpers. But that mare's bumper in particular is just perfectly timed for me.
You go for the mare at the conclusion of the day in the bumper.
Yeah. I just said, you know, she's a really good looking mare. Typical Gigginstown, big, strong, chasing type.
I'm going to after time shortly about another mare, but why was this mare so big? Because I know they had Big Bad Mutual, was obviously very well regarded. I usually take on horses like her because she's kind of flatbred. But what she did at Navan, I was like, well, she has absolutely no stamina doubts. Then she ran a bit keen on Sunday and she kind of didn't give herself much of a chance. I think she'll be a really good horse at the same time. But if you took her out of the race, the Jiggy Horse 50s, you're saying, nearly 50-1.
49-1, yeah, BSP, yeah. So I just, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't much of a bumper. She won down in Limerick. I just like to look her in the ring, true. So you can have a token bet at those prices, can't you?
Would you consider yourself a good paddock judge?
Well, I would. I mean, it's probably, I think James Willoughby calls them the dark arts. He has no faith in it whatsoever. Mm. And it's probably a vanity thing, but I've been standing around parade rings for probably 30 years now. Mm. Surely to God, I've learned something. Just from watching Over the Horse and that ran well and that didn't run well. And it also gives me something to do. It gives a structure to my race day. I can go to the parade ring.
And structure is important in your race days. They have new race times as well. Are you a fan? I'm going to tip up a horse in the 3:22. It sounds like something that's going to happen in Mahoning Valley or something, but it's actually in Naas.
Well, I'd be a huge fan if they can actually get the races off on time.
But they're good in Ireland. They're much better in Ireland.
There's some really serial offenders over in England, Ascot.
This is so bizarre because like everything about when you go to Britain, if you travel in Britain, trains are on time, everything's on time, they queue properly, like they don't kind of throw 50 lads into a scrum at the bar like we would. Everything here is late, effectively, except race times. We're actually much better at race times.
Yeah, well, I also think it might be a factor that I don't know, but I suspect that the stall certs qualifications might be a bit more rigorous over here because in England, I think they give them out in Rice Krispie packets. I mean, you see horses at the start, every two-year-old race, and I mean, I don't want to get up on a soapbox here, but another thing you'll see is the horses who have to go in last always give trouble. You can do this in Ireland as well, you can get a little note to say to the starter, my horse is a bit tricky at the stalls, can we go in last? Now, if I was the starter, or if I was British or Irish racing and I wanted to stick to these race times, I'd say absolutely not. You go in when you go in. Your job is to train the horses, train it to go in the stalls.
This is a very good point. I was actually thinking of this during the week for some reason before race. I don't know, it was a horse playing up.
You're kind of punishing
the behaviour of the good horses. So. And it's like, it's kind of survival of the fittest at the same time. If you're not good enough to bloody well go in the stalls, you have some sort of a temperament deficiency. So that's actually a flaw in your makeup.
Very much so.
I don't think you should be rewarded for that. Obviously, our special interview this week is Gavin Cromwell. The boy Cromwell put me in good form yesterday. He sent one runner to Chelmsford, and I was kind of putting two and two together. I said either this horse is no good, or he must have a reasonable chance. Why is he going to Chelmsford? And he only won. I then celebrated the victory by going to my local new pizza and pint place, and my mate got a pizza that was cold. 2 hours later, as we were finishing up, I gave out about it, which I never do. I was like, by the way, your pizza was a bit cold. They only gave me a free pizza.
Oh, well, quite right, too. I mean, it's a new joint. They want and it's your local place, did
it
you
say? It is in Royalton.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd have a lot of influence around here as well.
Anyway, let's get to a few commentaries from last week, because this was a little bit special.
They're coming down to the final flight, three almost in line. From the inside out, Cobbler's Way, Longhouse Poet, and Latest Exhibition over the final flight. Latest Exhibition, Longhouse Poet giving best as Cobbler's Way. Latest Exhibition and Brian Cooper forging ahead of Longhouse Poet, and then Cobbler's Way as Latest Exhibition books his Cheltenham ticket. Judge second with Cobbler's Way fighting back on the inside of Longhouse Poet. Then Fury Road, Elixir Daddy in assemble. Shaq on Poor Swaff from in at the final fence in the Ladbrokes double chase. Shaq on Poor Swaff from in, well cleared of Castle Grace Paddy and then Ornua inside the final 200 yards and driven out by Paul Townend. Shaq on Poor Swaff from in. There's four lengths between them as they run towards the line. And it's Shaq on Poor Swaff who's set to resume normal service for Paul Townend and Willie Mullins. A result and a half for the Richies with Min second. Notebook and Cashback to the final fence. There's nothing in it. Notebook and Cashback followed by Gallant John Joe and Mellon inside the final 200 yards. Notebook is having to work. Cashback is giving it socks on the rail. 100 yards to go. Notebook from Cashback as they run towards the finish. Notebook will take it to four wins in the 2 mile novice chase division. Cashback is second, and again second, but it's Honeysuckle, the leader, at the final flight over. Penny Mershwar is renewing his effort on the near side. Inside the final 100 yards, Darver Star, the underdog, is finishing strongly as well. Going towards the line, Honeysuckle, racing's new first lady, has won the PCI Irish champion from Darver Star. Penny Mershwar, Super Sunday, Aramon and Sharjah.
Right, so the first thing you said to me, or one of the first things you said today was, did you go to the stand? You're always giving out about atmosphere, yada, yada. I didn't. I was fairly busy in the press room. It's still no excuse, but you relayed some good tides from the stand. Good atmosphere, especially for the Fáthín.
Well, Fáthín, I think, actually lifted it on the decibel thing. It's very hard to tell with the naked ear, but
we will have his commentary very shortly.
I feel like that was louder. But the Blackmore, there's so much love out there for the Blackmore. She's on two well back favourites,
yes,
who win in two dramatic finishes. And I mean, it really, the stand was rocking. The roar when she got them up close to the line was deafening.
Not only that, but one of the most popular men in training provided the first winner, obviously, in the shape of Latest Exhibition. And he goes to Cheltenham with a chance, Dukie, doesn't he?
Very much so. I had this horse completely wrong. I wasn't convinced about his stamina, but all he does is stay. I thought Cobbler's Way had the run of the race out in front, jumped well, put it up to them, but really there was only one winner. He put them to bed pretty handily after the last.
Cobbler's Way ran a blinder for you. A lovely, lovely staying prospect. I think we're looking at some proper RSA chase prospects next season. Also in the shape of Longhouse Poet, who did progress beyond Elixir Danny over the trip, but I wouldn't give up on Elixir Danny. Shaq and Poor Swa, very briefly, there was a lot to like about this.
Great. I'm delighted that you like it, because he divided opinion amongst some people whose opinions I very much respect.
The town end says he's idling. Or certainly Willie, one of them said he's idling.
I'm not sure.
Because I would hope he is, otherwise he does have a little bit of a problem there.
Why do you say that? Because he didn't go away up the straight.
I'm not a man for doing the times and all that. I'm too lazy, but there was something unconvincing about his finishing effort.
Obviously, I don't buy this at all. Now, I understand. I think he's a victim of his own hype.
His own beauty.
Well, I'm as guilty of this as the next man. When you see him, what he does on his second chase start in Punchestown last year, you think this could be Sprinter Sacre. Like, the chances of him being Sprinter Sacre are actually pretty slim.
He beat in by 3 3/4.
But that's really good.
That's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Min's 170 horse now. I tell you, people quibble about that rating of 170, but he's certainly a mid-160s horse. I just think that when people saw, like, the round of jumping from Shaqan, let's start.
He's absolutely
that,
beautiful. To
that jump on the second, jump at the second last is probably
He did the same thing actually at Christmas as well.
Yes. Yeah. So both of those are probably up on RedTube as we speak. You can go and search. So he goes
you're
and jumps.
You're familiar with RedTube.
He goes and jumps there, and I think people think he's going to go and win 10 lengths.
Yes.
But it's very hard to put 10 lengths into Min.
Who stays further?
He does, and he's a right good horse. Yes. So I just think on his fourth chase start, he'll be the best jumper in the champion chase. He will probably have a few lengths to find to deal with Altior and Deffy, I'll grant you that, but he's well able to find them. And in my opinion, I think he should be marginal favourite for the race, and I was not disappointed with the finishing effort.
The Shaq attack, Lydia Hislop, she was on obviously earlier on in the year, and she was given a good case from each way in the Queen Mother, and I think we stand by that. Let's get to Notebook Juki. You said this horse would win, this horse won. I wasn't convinced by him.
You weren't convinced by him. Okay. So his antics before the start, he's a curious horse.
You were sending me the paddock inspection. You're like, this lad is on his toes.
Yes, but he always gets fizzy before the start. But he actually, when he came out, he then went the wrong way. He threatened to bolt, Rachel got a hold of him and brought him back. But the curious thing is he settles quite well in the race, despite being very fizzy beforehand. Now, he doesn't come into the parade ring for very long. This is something Henry doesn't like to do anyway. So I'd say he'll just be appearing in the Cheltenham parade ring.
Would you make an allowance for him?
For one circuit.
Would you make an allowance for the Notebook?
Well,
if you're to kind of extend our paddock, or rather our at the gates problems to before the start.
Oh yeah, no. Well, I don't think they should be allowed. As someone who loves looking at the horses in the paddock, I think they should all be in good time.
Are you concerned about Cheltenham then?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned, but I know what I think. I know what the HDB is going to do. He's going to bring him into Cheltenham for one circuit and get him straight out onto the track and pay the fine if they decide to fine him. What's he cared? Like, have a winner at Cheltenham.
Absolutely right. So he was taken on up front, and this was not an easy go out in front, jump them, you know, into submission type race. It just wasn't, because a certain cashback was in the race, and he's a proper horse as well. I just think there's something there to pick them off, and this is ridiculous, but I actually think Mellon could win the Arkell, because you just ignore everything Mellon does outside of Cheltenham. He ran an absolute shocker now, but he's 20-1, so maybe I'm mad.
Well, no, he does have the good Cheltenham record, but you're scratching around, aren't you? I mean, Notebook is a worthy fav. I take your point.
I like the way you scratched your leg as you said that as well.
I take your point. Yeah. He may not be a star, although he's still an improving horse, but there's no stars in that race, and he goes there as a worthy fav.
He is rock solid. This is my after timing, right? I wasn't surprised with the news this week that Honeysuckle was... If she weren't necessarily rerouted, if you want to say that, because her plan was, as HDB said, it was up in the air. But I didn't think she did enough on Saturday to warrant choosing the champion hurdle over the mare's race. But if I did own her at the same time, I'd be in two minds about it, because I wouldn't be mad on taking on Binny Did You. What did you make of it?
Well, yes, I'd be very similar to what you think, because we said before, if she goes and wins the Irish champion hurdle, how can they not go for the champion hurdle? But what we didn't know was she was going to fall in the Irish champion
with
hurdle.
With her market rival running disappointing.
Precisely. And effectively beating Darva Star and Petty Mouchoir in a close finish. That's all right. It's not a great year for the champion hurdle, but it's not that bad. And she did the way she re-rallied towards the end. I mean, she did well because she didn't jump either of the last two hurdles well. So she did well to suck that up and still come out on top. But it looks like she wants further. And I can see why they want the 2.5 mile option.
Juki said it wasn't that bad. The champion hurdle Sunday certainly wasn't that bad.
Aspartar has a battle on coming to the final flight. Cerberus away from the sea, and a follower is Aspartar. Cerberus has been left with the lead from a wave of the sea, and Wolf Prince racing up towards the finish. An amazing turn of events. Cerberus away from the sea is coming, and he's getting up a wave of the sea. Beat Wolf Prince, and Cerberus will clear at the final flight. Asterion for Longova from Easy Work, who landed in all fours, and then Mount Leinster in inside the final 150 yards, and it's Asterion Furlonge who's sweeping the board in his races, will remain unbeaten in the Chanel Farmer Novice Hurdle. Asterion Furlonge, 8-10 lengths clear from Easy Work, Mount Leinster and Confladen. Danny Mullins into the straight to the final fence, run in the lead. Faheen hits the front, leads for the first time. Coming down to the final fence, it's Faheen the leader from Tornado Flare. Easy Game, Battle Over Doyen has dropped back. Then Castlebourne West, it's Faheen and Easy Game. A faller was Battle Over Doyen. They're inside the final 200 yards. It's the Stable Companions from rail to rail. Faheen on the far side of Easy Game. They're running up towards the finish. Faheen, an Easy Game. Faheen on the far side of Easy Game. He's found a new lease of life over fences. Faheen has delighted his many fans here at Leopardstown. In a battle of the ages, Easy Game second, then Tornado Flower and Castlebourne West. And up is Davy Russell, and so too Battle Over Doyen. Kemboy. Delta Work joins in, then Jet and Le Bagalwa as they come down towards the final fence in the 2020 Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup. And it is Delta Work landing with a fractional advantage from Kemboy and presenting Percy. They got 200 yards to go. And another grandstand finish here at Leopardstown. It's Delta Work from Kemboy and presenting Percy as they run up towards the finish. Delta Work will pull off a big, big double. The Paddy Power in the seventh chase as Jack Kennedy punches the air. Kemboy second, third presenting Percy, fourth Jet, and fifth Le Bagalwa, well cleared of the other three.
Let's start with the first grade one. I don't think we need to spend too long on this because I thought it was a bit of an unsatisfactory juvenile race. This, I suppose, in the sense of... the favourite being a little bit disappointing. Mm. And also, I suppose, the fact that there was a bit of a kind of a line over them, really.
Yeah. Well, so the interesting things are Aspire Tower. So he's run way below his Christmas form. Do you completely give him a pass and say that on the Christmas form, he should be clear favourite for the triumph? And he's not. I would be inclined to do that. The other very interesting thing is Cerberus.
Yes.
Because Cerberus had the race won, and then he looked at something on the inside track. Maybe he's the cleverest horse, and he went, that's not the normal big screen they use in Leopardstown. I don't know. But there was something on the inside that caught his eye, and he stopped. He should have won the race.
He definitely pulled himself up.
So he ran pretty well because he was keen early, but he's been taken care of by Skelton's horse in Chepstow, so he can't really win a triumph. I think Aspire Tower's Christmas form is way clear. A decent bit clear of the opposition he will face in the triumph. And I think he should still be favoured for the triumph. Or if he's not, he's probably a bit of value.
Asterion for Lawrence, as Jane Mangan, the erudite judge who played a blinder, obviously, on Racing TV last weekend, she was making the point about Mrs. Donnelly's horses that she hasn't trained on Twitter. It's absolutely off the charts, not to mind that she has basically almost a favourite and second favourite for the Supreme. Shishkin was very good yesterday. The Asterion for Orange still jumps a bit to his right, still bolts up.
Well, Mrs. Donnelly has plenty of money. Like those Bacon and Freud paintings. They're the paintings you want to be involved in.
This lad is a bit of artwork at the moment.
He's a very, very good looking horse. I like what you did there. He really is.
This interaction between us is just so much better. The fact that we can...
I can see the whites of your eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm all over it.
The Forlorn's 9.5 lengths from Easy Work.
That's exactly... There's no reason to think Easy Work didn't run his race. All right, maybe a suboptimal trip for him, but he's a pretty solid L stick. I think he ran his race. And the Forlorn's... And interestingly, he did jump a little bit out to the right, but it wasn't as pronounced as it was in Nace.
Yes.
So that's a good sign that he's getting a bit better on that score, because obviously the old course in Cheltenham, you don't want to be jumping to the right. There's no future in that game.
No. Faugheen.
I mean...
What
can you say? Mm. I mean, so... The curious thing, if it wasn't for Faugheen and him being a hero, the battle is the curious thing, because nothing has come out about Battle Over Diane. But something...
Everything about that race for about 90% of it was so beautiful. His jumping was absolutely sensational.
And then
he stopped.
I'd say... I mean, what are there, 12 fences over 2.5 miles? Is that right?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I know Eddie O'Leary is a regular listener to the show.
Oh, yeah, was he?
And Eddie, if you're listening, maybe you would tell us if something were amiss with Battle Over Dying. I don't think there was, though. Maybe just the trip and the ground, he wasn't quick enough. But surely he's better than that.
Like, he took... I conservatively say, at 11 of the fences, he took 20 lengths out of four here.
His jumping was as good as I've seen from a novice for much of that race.
Big time.
Absolutely beautiful to watch.
So... There's no way they would have just... All right, they might have gone past him, but he'd been coming back at them or what have you. But he looked drunk coming down to the last.
You could have backed Faugheen easily and run on a 5-2 for much of that race, because, as you say, he's been out-jumped by...
Oh, right, I didn't look at the...
Absolutely.
I'd well believe
Battle
that.
Battle Over Dying was basically odds-on after two fences.
I'd well believe that. Yeah, no, I thought he was going to win the whole way. But Faugheen, I don't think that's necessarily a reflection on Faugheen. He's not a pinpoint accurate jumper, but he finds a way to get from one side to the other. And then he's got the toe in between the hurdles.
The boy just, Chambers in the parade ring afterwards. Joe Chambers, of course, Richie's race manager. You couldn't stop him crying.
Really, I couldn't see in the parade ring. There were so many people around it.
I mean, if this man, I think the Chambers is married, but I hope his wedding day was as emotional.
Ah, well, I mean, just an incredible.
It was great. Does he go to Cheltenham?
Oh yeah. It's
where does he go?
I would have gone for the Marsh Chase. I'm not totally convinced about his stamina for 3 miles. And when you look down the list of the Marsh,
yeah,
there's not much there.
Yeah, it's interesting that I got the impression that Willie didn't want to talk about Cheltenham. And a part of this was because this is our racing festival in Ireland. It's a brilliant racing festival. The racing was bloody unbelievable.
Mm.
Wasn't really that. He didn't want to talk about Cheltenham. And that could be a mean, listen, let's enjoy winning a grade one at the age of 12, 150 grand race, and best atmosphere in Leopardstown in years. It might also mean, yeah, not mad about Cheltenham, but maybe I'm.
Okay, I just assume they'll all go to Cheltenham because it's Cheltenham.
Imagine him as a 13-year-old next year. Well, senior chaser.
It was just.
It was great.
It was just absolutely great. Beautiful.
Didn't have a bet in the race, didn't need.
Didn't have a bet in the race either myself, but I was in the stands. And of course, the other thing is cashback is coming at him. So you don't know. You can't really tell till very late. So the crowd is rising.
Coming at him now. His cashback is so good. He's running two races and he's chasing home Faugheen over 2.5 miles.
Not cashback.
The easy game.
Easy game.
Easy mistakes.
No, well picked up. So the game is coming at him. And then the people in the stands are roaring while giving it the betting shop lean, trying to get Faugheen home. It's just it was a sight to behold.
Finally, and briefly, because we're going way over time already. Delta Work Kenboy presenting Percy. Something of a dress rehearsal for Cheltenham, even though I don't want to dismiss the sponsors of the race, which is a rival bookmaker in the Irish Gold Cup. 250 grand race. Brilliant performance from Delta Work and Jack Kennedy. We don't even have time to talk about that. The vicissitudes of this is... Anyway... But Delta Work is emerging as a proper Gold Cup candidate.
Right, I'd be surprised if he's good enough to. He is a candidate. Well, I don't know how Kenboy got so close. I mean, Kenboy, I think Kenboy's got a touch of Bobsworth about him now. Mm. So remember when Bobsworth started over fences, because they're both very small horses. He started over fences and he was just finding a way to get over them, but then eventually he gave up. He just, I can't handle these fences at all. And Kenboy has gone the same way to me. He's really struggling to get over his fences. But he's some heart to stick in there.
Briefly, the Percy?
Disappointing. Travelled great. Thought he was going to win, turn him for home. Didn't find much. Is he a bit of a bridle merchant, Johnny?
No, I don't think he's a bridle merchant. Okay. I think they're training him backwards from Cheltenham, if it's possible to train backwards. And if any man can train backwards, it's Pat Kelly. He only sent the horse the wrong way around Galway last year. but wouldn't give up on him yet. I think the Gold Cup is just becoming more compelling with every day. A point that's not lost on Will Riley, who's going to update us now on the weekend market moves and a selection as well.
Once again, there's some excellent racing to look forward to in Ireland with the Opera Hat Mare's Chase, which was won by Benny Didier 2 years ago, taking centre stage at Naas on Saturday, and the €100,000 Grand National Trial, a key race at Punchestown on Sunday, where a cross-country chase gets things underway. As ever, we'll have a wide range of offers, including extra place races available on the action. Following last week's marvellous Dublin Racing Festival, some key Cheltenham movers are latest exhibition, 7-1 from 12s for the Albert Bartlett, Chacun Pour Soi, 5-2 from 4-1 for the Champion Chase, Appreciate It 2-1 from 8-1 for the Champion Bumper. Six horses trained in Ireland have won in Britain this week, two of them trained by Joseph O'Brien, who is one of the three Irish runners in Britain on Saturday, never before, who runs at Lingfield. Very quickly, I thought that Valdir was going to be a good horse this season over fences. It hasn't happened yet, but maybe cheek pieces will help the cause in the opening race at Naas on Saturday.
It's time to get to the man Cromwell. He was good enough to give us his time yesterday. Some of these horses may or may not be running now at the weekend. But here is Gavin discussing Leopardstown, a little bit of Chelmsford, and of course, a little bit of Cheltenham to come. Gavin Cromwell, how are you keeping?
Good, Johnny.
Your first runner in Chelmsford today turned out to be a winner, Dazzling Darren. You're making the point that you went over there because there's such a lack of opportunities for these three-year-olds over these sort of trips in Ireland.
Yeah, there's nothing... There's nothing any further than a mile, I think, until the 31st of March. So it's a case of, we had to travel to try and find a race for him.
We got to reflect just on your runners over the 2 days at Leopardstown, because whilst you didn't have a winner, you're probably one of the most successful trainers there in terms of how it worked out with two grade one seconds. And Darver Star finishing second to Honeysuckle. She's obviously so afraid of you that she's not going to run in the race now. This talk, she's going to the mare's race. But what a performance.
Yeah, it was a great performance. I wouldn't say she's shying away from the champion hurdle because of us now, but anyway. It was a great run from Darver now. He couldn't knock it. He was a little bit tap for toe turning in, but stayed on real well. look, he obviously does stay. He stays further. He's 1/2 and I think that's something that you need for a champion hurdle. You need to stay. He travels well and he jumps well. And I think he'll come up the hill in Cheltenham.
This time last year, I remember there was a few bob for him in a maiden hurdle, and it was a maiden hurdle at Ferry House that was effectively run for horses that hadn't finished in the first 3 or 4 or whatever at that time. And as it happens on the day, he finished 4th. And then when he ran in Wexford, he was beaten and he was rated 104. How can you explain his progress to 152 years later? It seems incredible.
Absolutely. I can't explain it. I don't know. I ran him in a bumper. His first ever run, I think, was on the 8th of December. I ran him in a bumper in Cork, and I thought he'd run a big race. And he ran well enough, but I suppose I was a little bit disappointed. But yeah, then we ran him back in Down Royal on Stevens's day, and he was running okay, and I thought, but I suppose on the whole, he was a little bit disappointed. I thought he would win a bumper. Look at when he started winning, he didn't know how to stop.
Is that a mental thing, or has he strengthened up, or what is it?
I don't really know, Johnny. I think I might have been training him a little bit too hard early on, and not giving him a chance. And when I did eventually back off him, I think he improved for it.
It's been a strange year for you because of the highs and lows of winning, obviously, the champion hurdle. But now you go there with a horse who, in terms of the depth of the race, he must have a chance of at least running a good race anyway, which seems incredible. But you obviously have another champion hurdle contender of some description, it would seem.
Yeah, I suppose this time last year we were a little bit the same, in the same boat, albeit with a horse that I suppose he was coming with a far better profile, because he had been running in graded races, and he was unbeaten apart from the one run where he flopped in the Grade One Juvenile at the Dublin Festival the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't knock what Barber Star has done on his last 6 months.
Obviously, it's interesting you were saying you were going chasing with him next year as well, because he is an 8-year old, but that's relatively young compared to the likes of Fahin. Is that still the plan, or?
Yeah, it is the plan. I suppose that's open to change. Everything is open to change. If we went to a champion hurdle and if he went close in it or won a champion. Won a champion hurdle, it's definitely open to change. But at the moment, yeah, we will go chase.
Probably a run that was maybe more in line with market expectations was Wolf Prince's, who finished second in that dramatic juvenile hurdle. But his progression has been quite startling as well.
Yeah, he loves off ground and he's a tough little horse. I'd say the ground just wasn't soft enough for him the other day. Softer ground definitely would have helped him. He was similar run in the fact that he was tapped for toe turning in and stayed on real well. But he's a grand horse.
Will he definitely go Triumph?
Not definitely. He has the Fred Winter as well, so we'll see what the English handicapper does to him.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a... We were a little bit undecided. Well, we obviously went for the Grade One the other day, but... he went up £2 for running in that, which was, it was a tricky one going into the race. We were afraid if we ran too well that we'd go up in the handicap. You could leave a Fred Winter behind you, but he got £30,000 for finishing second. So
it looked a bit like that almost with the McManus horses. That kind of it might have been a Fred Winter trial for some horses, but in the end it obviously turned into a Grade One finish. And I think it was a race that I suppose changed complexion. But he's clearly not out of place running the Triumph, you think?
No, I'd say you're right there. It kind of looked like a Fred Winter trial that turned into a Triumph trial.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously with the favourite for the Triumph for the race, and probably in trouble at the last anyway, it maybe looks a bit more open.
Yeah, it's hard. Nobody knows whether he would have won. But anyway, look, I was delighted with Wolf Prince's run.
Just in relation to Dundalk tomorrow, you've only won one there, but obviously last weekend you ran Princess Yeza, who ran a nice race. Now, she was a potential runner in the Saudi Cup, but that, I believe, isn't going to happen now.
it's not going to happen. Unfortunately, she was in the handicap in the Saudi Cup, and the on her world ranking, she was rated 113 in the Saudi Cup, and then when we entered her up for Dundalk, our Irish handicapper Gary O'Gorman gave her 106. So
nice.
put us out of Saudi.
Right.
They were delighted with the run, but the handicap mark let us down.
Is she, you know, she's obviously was off for over a year. Is she going to stay in the go now for this year?
She will indeed, yeah. Yeah. Look, there's no definite plans with her as to where she's going to go, but I suppose her main target will be towards the end of the season. We'll look to head to France again with her. The Group 2 that she won is now a Grade 1, and that'll be her.
Actually, yeah, when she won that race, she was the only Irish winner in the ARC weekend the entire 2 days. Where would that race win rank with the champion hurdle? I know it's completely different, but in terms of achievement, it must have been fairly close.
Yeah, look, it was huge at the time, but champion hurdle is a champion hurdle.
Champion hurdle is a champion hurdle. No champion hurdle tomorrow, but we have the View Restaurant at Dundalk Stadium race, and the restaurant at Dundalk Stadium race, and Harbin Acker, who was a bit of an eye catch the last day, makes a quick reappearance, albeit in a winner's race this time.
Yeah, little bit up against it, it being a winner's race, but you know, he obviously doesn't have a winner's penalty, and I think last week he was drawn very badly. He was drawn out in the left. Where was he? 14.
Yeah, he was high, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he was out the widest of all. And I'd say, you know, with a better draw, I think he definitely would have went close. He's come out of the race fine, and I think he probably learned plenty from the other day as well. Just took a while for the penny to drop in the straight, and he flew home just at the death. So hopefully he'd have a bit of a chance.
You only have the one entry on Sunday, and that's Railway Hurricane in the bumper. Is it likely that Railway Hurricane will run?
Yeah, I think I probably will run him. Look, it's a good bumper, but there's no bad Irish bumpers at this time of the year. I think with a nicer ground, I'm hoping he'll run much better than he has. He works very well at home, so I think he's a real nice horse.
Have you heard as much as seems to be the case about this new Cheveley Park horse, Bally Adam of Gordon's, your good buddy?
I look at it here, bits of rumours, but nothing solid, so I don't know.
And they have Fernie Hollow, so it could be a good bumper, but more so, I suppose, you've entries on Saturday. What do you think you might run on Saturday, Gavin?
I'd say Yarford the Doe and Hashman are in the same race. Two of them are working well at home, and I hate taking them to take each other on.
Mm.
But yeah, look, at either or both of them could run, and they're both in good order. So we'll have to make a decision tomorrow.
What about your other entries then?
Well, look, we've plenty in maidens, and you know, truth be known, they're not good enough to win maidens, and hopefully at some stage in handicaps they might have a day.
Tashman's an interesting horse because he's had plenty of chances for, you know, which obviously haven't given up on him. I remember him running very well at Nace around this time last year.
Yeah, he's a real head scratcher. He works like a jet at home, and I don't know, is it a case of just we haven't got everything right for him, but I think there definitely is a day in him if we can just click.
And finally, any horse to look out for the rest of the year, or any dark one for Cheltenham you might have to mention?
I suppose I think Alpha Mix is a lovely horse.
Yes, I meant to ask you about him. Cahill Gahan of the Racing Post actually asked me, was he going to Cheltenham?
Yeah, I think he probably will go to Cheltenham. I'm not sure for what race. I'd say he'll definitely have an entry in the Mark Pipe. He's off 1.42 in Ireland. So the English handicapper could potentially put him out of that, which is, it's a 1.45 race. So it depends on what he does there. So look, he'll be entered in the Carroll Cup as well. He's in the 2.5 novice and the Supreme. I don't know exactly where he's going to go, but I'll be well, he'll go to Cheltenham.
Just watching him the last day and the way he travelled and just the way he kind of went through the race, you couldn't but think this lad, if he stays, could be a right exciting chaser.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I really like him. And he's still a big raw horse. He had his first ever run this time last year in a point-to-point, and he was as weak as a kitten, and he's really progressed, and he's a nice horse.
What do you make of Gavin Cromwell as a trainer, Juki?
Ah, just different gravy. I'm a huge fan of him. I'm very much reminded of the similarities between him and his mentor, Gordon Elliott.
Yes.
Starts off relatively small, proves he can do it with moderate horses, gradually gets a better class of horses, seems to have a real tight team around them. They work hard for one another, very likeable people, getting a better class of owner now. If there's room for three at the, of course you have the HTV as well, if there's room for four at the top table of Irish racing, I think the Cromwell is the man who's going to nudge his way in there.
The stats for trainers, if you took out JP and Jigginstown in terms of just ignore them, like market without two, as it were, Cromwell is unbelievably successful in terms of just normal run-of-the-mill owners or whatever, if you want to call them that. The lad is absolutely top class, and the horse he mentions, the boy Cahill Gahan from the RP was asking, Alpha Mix, I've actually backed him. Kilfenora has done me a couple of bad turns, a good horse, beat him in Navan the last day. I think this is going to be a gorgeous chase. It'll be interesting if he rocks up in the Curragh Cup.
Right, you don't think he'll get into the Martin Pipe?
Or Martin Pipe, whatever he goes into, yeah. Like I suppose it's, we'll see how the weights work out, but I think he's a nice, lovely, progressive horse for chasing on the agenda later on.
Well, he's a good profile to be ahead of the handicapper too.
Unfortunately for Gavin, I'm actually going to tip one of his horses at the weekend, but more of that later. Before that, here is the Joy of Six, and this week's guest is Johnny Murphy, the former Leinster player and now leading racehorse owner.
Favourite race course would be the Curragh. I grew up going there. I live about 15 minutes from the race course, so I grew up. I went in buggies, and I'm bringing my kids in buggies there. Still bringing my kids in buggies there. Favorite horse would be a grey Indian Ridge filly my father had called Sita. I was about 13, 14. She won two races, two high quality races. For Kevin Prendergast trained her, and then she was sold to America. But it was really exciting for me. She kind of had line on the Oaks, and she looked like she, before she was sold, she was going to run in the Pretty Polly. So she was top quality, and kind of that's probably where my real love came from, kind of chasing someone of a similar standard. One change I'd make to racing would be the ballot system for 45 to 65s. So the ballot system works in terms of if you have been placed on your previous run, you are more or less guaranteed a run. But if you run in the time of entry and you are placed or win, you don't go up in the ballot. But if you run and you're not placed after the time of entry, you lose your ballot, so you drop back down, so it doesn't work both ways. I think that is something that should definitely be looked at, because the majority of horses in 45 are rated from 70 75 down, and you have a horse that you want to run in those 45 to 65 handicaps, it can take you three or four attempts to get in. And with new owners and syndicates and all that, trying to get a run is probably the most important thing. So I think the ballot system is definitely something that probably needs to be, certainly that if you can drop down the ballot, you should be able to drop up the ballot if you're placed or even win after the time that you're entered. Yeah, best bet I ever had was couple of years ago, a horse called El Tren won, and he won at a massive price. And I had a few quid each way in him, and that was probably the biggest one I've had. Two horses to look out for this year would be two of our syndicate horses, me, myself, and Wash. She's a filly, a four-year-old filly, and she has a great pedigree, so hopefully she'll continue on where Linger left off last year in winning fashion for the syndicate. And then the second one would be G-Rex. We purchased G-Rex. He's now a four-year-old. He ran in the Albany as a two-year-old in Royal Ascot. So we'd be pretty hopeful that we can get a bit of improvement out of both of them. Rugby tip of the year would be, and it's probably very, very short priced, would be Leinster to do the double to win both Europe and Heineken Cup. I just don't see anyone being close to them. I think their toughest test will probably be the quarterfinal against Saracens, because Saracens have kind of that siege mentality in Europe, and if they, the only thing that they can really salvage for this current group before they are probably dispersed and people go throughout different competitions is probably the European Cup. So they're going to really, really target that. But I just think Leinster will, I just think at the moment they just have too much for everyone in Europe.
Visit barwinracing.com for best odds guaranteed and extra places every day on UK and Irish horse racing, extra places every week on major golf events, and double the odds on first goal score bets on selected games. Barwin Racing, your number one bookmaker, where the customer comes first. And remember to check us out on social media. At Barwin Racing is the Twitter handle to follow, where you'll find our daily specials on a range of sports.
Yeah, the Ballaton is a situation that he brought up there. It is, if you own a moderate horse, and most of us in racing have owned a moderate horse, if we've owned anything, it is very frustrating.
Is it?
Yes. No. Yes, it is, Duke. I'm not sure what the answer is, though.
Right, okay. Well, I have a tail in a moderate horse with my dad, actually, and she's 3 runs to get handicapped. I'm not even sure if she'd be rated 45. She's that moderate. But
Do you own a leg of it?
I own a tail of it. Right, I never really any aspirations to own horses. I know.
Any aspirations at all?
Not hugely. Just have a few bob to. If I could, the longer I can sustain my role as a professional race goer, that's an aspiration.
I'm not going to see you holding on by a thread, but.
Well, you're doing your best for me, in fairness. You're giving me work every chance you get.
What are we talking about? Balloting? Yeah.
Balloting, yeah.
So, will this horse actually be too moderate to even run?
Well, I don't know. Is that a problem I'm going to face, yeah?
Well, you do need, it's no longer the case that any horse can run. You do need to reach a certain level of slowness to actually perform. What's the name of this beast? Could be one for us to follow on the old On The Wire.
What is her name? Sapphire Pearl.
Sapphire Pearl. A little bit worrying that you couldn't think of it straight off.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, the only thing is, her dam, who got to quite a high level on the flat, she didn't do much in her first few runs either. So that's the only, you're an owner, you cling to any bit of hope.
Any crumb of hope at all.
Yeah.
Before the weekend racing, here is the Golden Oldie, and it's not that old, but this is a mare who actually won one of the big races previously.
Still coming, Benny De Dieu, Le Bago Juan, the right behind those, who makes an error at that flight of hurdles. Midnight Tour and Davy Russell leading to Benny De Dieu, the pink jacket, the far side with Ruby Walsh, who's headed her now. Benny De Dieu joining Midnight Tour as they race up the waterline. There's very little between them. Benny De Dieu back to hurdles, and she wins.
Benny De Dieu, briefly, where do you go to Cheltenham with her?
Where do I go, or where will
where
she?
Would you go?
Oh, I would go for the stairs hurdle.
Right. Take on the Paisley.
Big time. Yeah. She'd have it. Like, I'm Paisley Park's biggest fan, but it'd be no joke giving her £7. She'd have a right chance against him, and it'd make for a hell of a race. Whereas of course, taking on Honeysuckle in the mayor's race, I mean, I'm loath to give the mayor's race any props at all, because it's a barnacle on the bottom of the Cheltenham Festival.
Yes.
But at the same time, if those two did run against them, it would be an interesting race and betting heat.
Speaking of Cheltenham Festival, update and accommodation. We've been offered somewhere to stay on Thursday.
Have we?
On Thursday night. It looks like a madhouse. House is about 50, I think, looking at it. Somewhere in Gloucester. It's an option.
Oh, anywhere, yeah. It's
fine. Anywhere at all. Let's talk Nace on Saturday. Obviously, the BBA Ireland Limited Opera Hat Mare's Steeplechase is going to be an intriguing race. And this is at 137.
137.
You'd forget that a certain Benny De Dieu actually won this race in the past. You'd actually forget that she was a chaser. But anyway, she was. And she was very good. And as was Vroom Vroom Mag. Willie can do anything, really. What wins this, though?
I mean, this is the definition of bad, of cheap black type. Cut the Mustard will probably win. Tintangle. If Tintangle could rediscover her form, she'd have a chance. But she's badly out of form. I mean, this is one of these races where you could... One of the rags could pick up really cheap black type, because a couple of them die of boredom on the way around. This is a desperate
It's black
race.
Type. It's more a black mark on racing.
Yes.
What else do we have here? We have an interesting novice hurdle. Aramax against Recent Revelations and Jim Online. And this goes off at the very, very honourable time of 12 minutes past 2.
Okay.
Jim Online is certainly an interesting horse. There was plenty of chat about this horse by Dr. Dino when it ran behind Manila Melody. That was a very avaricious, as Tony Martin actually said that to me in the parade ring when they said it might be a bit avaricious. I was like, Harvey, where did you get that word from? But it makes perfect sense. It just means like overly ambitious. In any event, I do like this horse, Tukey. There was plenty of chat. I was actually speaking to somebody from the yard. I was talking to Bubba, actually, before the race. And she's light. She's only a four-year-old. This is a four-year-old only race. I think she could take a lot of beating here. What else do you like in Ace?
I don't really like anything else in Ace. The Gin Online, but Peter the King Kingston mentioned
the
her.
King did mention her. Gavin Lynch, by the way, last weekend? Ah. Starring performance. Won't be his last, by the way. Short from dying in the near future. He's a healthy man.
He's hard to get.
He's hard to get. Is winner hard to get in Ace?
Very hard for me. I kind of passed on it. I really did. I have a couple for you in Punchestown if they're any use to you.
Gavin mentioned his couple of horses in the 322. I'm going to give Tashman one more chance. And this is the Last Chance Saloon. You can imagine the doors like swinging behind me as I come out of the Last Chance Saloon and say, never again.
Yeah.
But Tashman, around this time last year, he was only beaten a length and three parts in an admittedly muddling race at Nace. But he travelled like an absolute dream. I think that might even have been his handicap debut. Or certainly one of his earlier handicap runs. The boy Brett takes over. Don't know much about the boy Brett, but he's £5 lower. He's back in trip. I think if everything falls into place, as Gavin said, he works very well, but this is one more chance we've given him, Dukey.
Works like a jet. This horse is the definition of more than glory, sounds like to me. But you're going to get some sort of a prize, are you?
Yes, definitely. I think this horse could be 20, 25 to 1.
Ah, well then.
What more do you want?
They're the prizes to take a chance on that type of horse.
Much like the horse that I gave a very good mention to, Glamorgan Duke last week, 33 to 1. Anyway, let's move on.
Absolute scenes.
What's going on Sunday, Dukey? Punchestown.
Punchestown now. Lot of rain about this weekend. And there's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne. And most of it is going to arrive on Sunday. So
in the word of that freaky guy, have you ever seen the movie The Machinist, in which Christian Bale was absolutely emaciated? He lost so much weight, he looks like, you know, basically he's going to die.
I have seen that.
Very dark movie. But your man in the car says to him, they say there's a storm on the way. I say it's already here. And the storm is actually, we can hear it in the background. It's already here. It's certainly on the way.
It is, and I've to make my...
He's looking behind
him. Well, I've to make my way home, but anyway, I'll find a way.
What do you like at Punchestown?
Well, it's a very interesting race, the 215 Novice Hurdle. The one I like is Cedarwood Road, who was an extremely impressive winner of a maiden hurdle at Christmas in Leopardstown. Now, the beaten horses haven't exactly set the world alight, but I do think he'll relish the deep ground more so than the likely Fab Beacon Edge. But what price is this fighter Alan going to be?
Yes.
Half brother to the Phenomenon, Gordon Elliott, no eyes for running. He won a bumper in France. No eyes for running him in a maiden hurdle or anything. Entered him in this. Owned by Chris Jones, who also owns Cedarwood Road. So he's just throwing them up in the air, find which one is the best of them. I think that'll be very interesting.
Got to give the lad a Lachlan a mention. He's absolutely thriving. Got Machuca to win yesterday as well.
Which is brilliant because he only has about six or eight horses. Yes. He's more into pre-training.
It's the old adage we have, the old story we have in the press room. You ask the small trainers, how many have you in? Oh, about two or three.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's a two or three. There's a 50% difference there.
Yeah.
The amount of times the owl will tell you that, the trainer that you've never met before, I have three or four.
You would know. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. And then in the four...
What have we got here? We conclude with 4:55. You like one, the 4:25. Here.
Excellent. I'd forgotten the time. Thank you, Johnny. The 4:25, Rocky Silver. So this is an unexposed horse. More rain, the better for him. He's the furthest he's ever gone is 3 miles, but he shapes like the extra 4 furlongs will suit. Got £7 for his last win. Now, I'm not convinced that was much of a race. However, his November win at the track has worked out really well. Now, granted, he's £18 higher on Sunday, but I think the deep ground will make this a savage test of 3.5 mile. I think he'll stay better than anything and can take the step up in class.
We should mention the bumper because, a horse that's been sort of carrying so much of a reputation, Fernie Hollow, gets one more chance. I think if he consents to actually behave himself, he'll take an awful lot of beating. But as I mentioned to the Cromwell earlier on, this horse, Chibi Parka, Bally Adam as well, there's been plenty of chat about this horse of late, and I thought, I wasn't sure if the two of them would take each other on, but keep an eye out for him. He's another possible Cheveley Park star. I think he's won a point to point, but doesn't take on Fernie Hollow, but Fernie Hollow should be getting the job done here, should he not?
Oh, Valley Adam isn't in the race.
He doesn't run.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. Fernie Hollow just hasn't helped himself with being a bit keen in his races, but has still run to a reasonable level and should be good enough there.
Dukie, I'm not going to lie to you. I have a bombshell.
Oh.
Evening, boys. Hope you're all keeping well up there and you've recovered from the Dublin Racing Festival last weekend. I'm off to Dundalk tonight for Racing TV again, and typical tough competitive card up there with a lot of lower grade handicaps that are hard to work through. And my best bet tonight is in the 8 o'clock race, the 5 furlong maiden. It's number 12, Bombshell, trained by Joseph O'Brien. Very, very expensive daughter of Noni and Never. She was a €575,000 Breeze Up purchase in May 19. Didn't make her track debut until November over course and distance in Dundalk, where she walked out of the gates, was beaten 6 lengths on that occasion. And again, on her second start in late December, she started slowly, got back as a consequence, but came home really well in the last 2 furlongs, doing her best work at the finish. If Joseph O'Brien, I'm sure he's done a lot of work with her in the stall since, if breaking on terms today. Current price about 3-1, maybe 4-1 in places. She rates a solid proposition with a good draw in stall too. She's a highly rated favourite in American Lady, who's got a rating of 85 and is quite short in the betting, but is drawn in stall 14. And has been off quite a while, and is at even money. I'm prepared to pose her with Bombshell, given her course form. If breaking on terms, she should be hard to beat. Best of luck. Have a good weekend, lads. Thank you.
Fran Berry. I mean, I've just been more and more impressed by this lad when he's on our TV screens on a Friday night. Bombshell, obviously, his nap running in the 8 o'clock. What's your nap the weekend?
Ah, I didn't know what you were doing there. Rocky Silver in the 4:25 in Punchestown on Sunday.
Rocky Silver in the 4:25. I'm going to give my nap actually at Dundalk again. I do apologise, but
No, winner's always welcome, John.
It is what it is. So in the 5:30, a horse by the name of Lansing, very, very green last time out, a horse by Tornado, only made its debut actually on the 24th of January a couple of weeks ago. Seriously green, absolutely blew the start, and was certainly further behind after, I'd say, half a furlong than he was at the wire. If he does make a little bit of progress under the haze, very, very interesting in the 5:30. I think that's us all, Dukie. Or is it, Dukie? Is it quite at all?
No.
What's happening on Tuesday?
The weights for the Grand National are out. Will you be invited to that lunch?
Will Eddie O'Leary be invited?
That's a fairly good assumption. I think of 172 is way too high from a conventional rating. Okay, there is the entry factor. He's obviously won the last twice. But he got a huge rise last year for win the cross country in Cheltenham, which actually wasn't bad. It was a reaction to, in our view, it was a reaction to how he won the Boyne Hurd, which is wrong.
I then asked him, was it fair how he is weighed relative to last year's runner-up, Magic of Light?
No, I think the mare has probably got a very fair rise. I mean, like she's a very, very good mare. I've beaten, I think, 2¾ lengths. But if she's won 5-8, why are we 172? Like we're crazily high in the ratings. And as such, I hope he will compress him as he has done for all the top horses in the last number of years, because if he doesn't, unfortunately, there won't be a Tiger Roll at entry.
I didn't put it to Eddie. The Tiger Roll wasn't the obvious high-rated horse that they would try to compress for the race.
It probably is a different case. Yes, it probably is a different case because Tiger's form is entry form, and he has no conventional form. The last time he ran in a conventional chase on a track, he was rated 150, and he pulled up.
So then I asked him, what happens if he's rated too high?
Unless he gives him a chance in the weights, he will be retired as a gentleman. Now, we would all like to see him in entry, but and I hope he gives him a chance. But if he doesn't, there'll be no Tiger.
I did point out then that the handicapper does have a job to do with the National.
Yep. But we have our Tiger's our little star, and we have to mind him as well. And we understand he'll be 11-10, no problem. But it's the compression of the weights. If he has to give too much weights to decent horses, like vis-a-vis Delta Work is now rated 171. So he's rated inferior to Tiger Roll. It's an absolute joke.
I asked how the two of them would compare.
There's no comparing at home because these are race horses. I mean, they're staying chasers and they're race horses. There's no comparing at home. But he has Tiger Roll. He has Tiger Roll now 172. He says he's a Gold Cup winner. He is Gordon Elliott, a master trainer, a genius, has never even considered entering him in a Gold Cup because he's not good enough.
Have you some sympathy for the handicapper then, I ask?
Well, absolutely. But he has his job to do, and we're not trying to force his hand. All I'm saying is we're going to look after our Tiger, and we're not going to ask him to carry an unfair weight against other good horses.
And obviously, Eddie wasn't suggesting that the handicap was trying to make it easy for Tiger Roll to win his third.
Absolutely not. Absolutely, he's to make it fair for all. But it's fair for all. I'm not unfairly pulling out Jesse's mare. But Jesse's mare was beaten 2 3/4 lengths, and were raised to give her £14. You know? I mean, if she's 158, we're max 162 or 163.
Quick take on this. What do you mean? Is it double bluff? Is it bluff? Is it bluff against bluff? What is it?
Well, I hope so. Because we were having this discussion, and I was thinking, oh, he's 171 in England. They'll give him 167 or 168 like they did with Annabelle Fly. And you were saying, well, maybe not because of the Aintree factor. And then I looked at Many Clouds, and they only were £1 lower with Many Clouds when he went back to try and win the Grand National. So I'm inclined to think you might be right and he'll get 170. You still got to run him, though. Because that'll mean...
Yeah,
like he gave £8 to Magical Light last year. So that'll mean he'd be given... Well, at the moment, £12 to Magical Light. He beat her by 3 lengths. That's fine, isn't it?
I do see where he's coming from. This horse would not win a Gold Cup, and yet he's rated basically the equivalent of the likes of Delta Work. He would not win a Gold Cup. But you can see the handicapper's perspective. He fairly bolted up in the race last year, I suppose. All should be revealed on Tuesday. Thanks very much for listening. We are now on Spotify. We're on Apple. We're on Audio Boom. Most listens so far we've had was Saturday last week. So thanks very much for that. Thanks to Bar One for sponsoring us as ever, and thanks to you for listening.
Open an account with barwinracing.com and receive a €30 or £30 free bet when you have a bet of €10 or £10 at evens or greater. T's and C's apply.